Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and we do with money. We're reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. The phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. We have Melissa calling in from Syracuse, New York. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. How can I help you?
My question is, my husband and I are currently on baby step two, and we hope to be on step four in 2016. And we're hoping to have baby step two done November of 2015. And my question is, I've been employed at Cornell University since April of 2014. And after 2 years of employment with them, they will begin putting 10% of my income, their money, not mine, into a 403B plan for me. And so my question is, when we begin baby step four, should I also put 10% of my income in, or just put mine into a Roth IRA and then whatever the max is, put any extra into the 403B after?
Yeah, Melissa, I hear that they're going to be giving you 10%, which is huge. Okay, so let's say that you put in an additional 5%. They will not match that.
No, because then it would be 15%. I mean, they're going to put in 10% even if
regardless.
I don't put in any.
Okay. Yeah, what I normally teach is, you know, that let's say the normal situation, which it sounds like you've got a really good one, it's typically, let's say a company will match up to 5%. And what we'll say is you want to match that 5%, but don't count that as 10. You count that as your 5. And so 15% needs to come out of your household income. In this scenario, I'm going to tell you the same. But that puts you up in the 25% range of so you're going to climb pretty darn fast with the retirement. Now, you can do what you want. You know, I don't know all the other variables of your finances. Are you currently in debt? Yeah, you are, right? You're in baby step two, right?
Yep. We've got $8,100 on a home equity line of credit. And then the only other debt we have is our mortgage.
Okay. So this is only when you're going to start. It's not because you have started.
Right.
I wouldn't do the extra 15% until you have 3 to 6 months saved in an emergency fund. So that's baby step three after baby step two. Make sure you don't skip over that. You keep that 3 to 6 months because you don't want to go back in debt.
Right.
And then before you get to that crazy amount, maybe the extra 15% or when you start going nuts, you know, because that'll be a total of 25%, you might want to pay off the house. It's kind of up to you on that. Just because the number is so huge and so abnormal. But typically, I like to say if it's a matching situation up to 3%, that you want to still stick with the 15.
Okay.
And then you get the additional 3 as bonus. So
okay.
That's kind of, you know, where I would go with that. So that's a great benefit.
They put in 10%. So if I put in 15%, they're still only going to put in 10%. And if I put in 0, they only put in 10%.
Correct. So you would only be at 25 total, right? You're 15 plus their 10.
Right.
So
okay.
It's totally up to you. But the biggest thing that you need to do, if I pulled up 30,000 feet, here's what you need to remember. Get out of debt as soon as possible. Get your 3 to 6 months as soon as possible in a money market account as emergency fund. And then start retirement as quick as possible, 15%. But the biggest thing is the baby step two and the baby step three. That's by far the most important. So you're out ahead of the curve. I love that. I love the fact that you have dates. You told me November of 15. You told me you've got dates. That means you got a plan. That's incredible. So I love it. I love it. Way to go, Cornell. Yeah, investing back into their people. Love it.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Melissa.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Folks, why does this matter? What all this talk about retirement and about 10%, 12%, 15%, why does all that matter? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. but it's hard to run when Proverbs 22:7. It's hard to run when we're enslaved to the lender. And so that's why all this matters. You can't get to the running part until you get. Have you ever tried to run a race with maybe your kid on your back or your kid on your shoulders? And you're not going to get very far. So you've got to get the weight off your shoulders, get that debt out of your life. Then you can start really running. And that's why all this is important. We got to run towards the prize, but it's really hard to run when we've got a bunch of chains all around us. This email comes in from Ronnie. I want to thank you and God for the new show. It has already been a great blessing in my life. Well, thank you for listening. My question is, I have not yet tithed this month. I usually tithe either twice a month or once a month, but either way, it totals my 10%. I want to use this month's tithe and part of next month's tithe to pay for an upcoming missions trip. Would it be okay to use this tithe to pay for it? Since I'm going to do God's work, I am debt-free and just starting baby step 3. What are your thoughts? I would not take from your tithe. I think you personally have to be invested into this trip. You've got to feel it at a spiritual level. You got to feel it at a financial level. You got to feel it at an emotional level. And the minute that you use your tithe, you're not paying for it. The church is. The money that was going to give into the local storehouse that they were going to operate on, and they were going there, that's not there anymore. So what, in a sense, they paid for your trip. You didn't. So I wouldn't do that. I would keep tithing, and then this is above and beyond. But do not take from your tithe. On the phone, we have Dave calling in from Jackson. Dave, how are you?
Good. And you?
I'm doing very, very well. How can I help you?
I was listening to Dave Ramsey, and he said that I have a repo on my vehicle, and I owe $18,000. He said I can sell it for 20 cents on the dollar. And I thought about it, but it falls off in May of 16. And I was wondering, should I just let it fall off or should I pay it off?
You've got a couple different ways to look at this. You've got short-term mathematical way to look at it. So short-term mathematically, it's let it go. You've got the spiritual way to look at it. And with the spiritual way to look at it, I would pray about it. And then however God leads you in that, I would be shocked if he says, just let it go. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says it's better to not make a vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. So I would pray about it. And then probably what you're going to have to do is call and offer them a deal. Then there's the long-term financial way to look at it. And long-term financial, this may shock you, but long-term financially, listeners, listen up. Long-term financially, the best way to do this is to pay it off, not to let it go. Long-term financially, God will bless you.
All 18 of it?
No, you call them and see if they'll make a deal for sure. Don't not call them, but call them and see if they'll make a deal. And let's say this, make a deal for $6,000. I promise you that you'll be better long-term financially because you did that, because you did your best to settle with them, to meet them in the middle, to do what's right, the right thing. God will bless you way more than $6,000. I just know it. I've seen it way too much in my life. I've talked to way too many people. It doesn't make sense at all in our world, but I know Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 says this. Listen to this, everybody. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The bottom line is, God's going, I'm an infinite God, but y'all have finite minds. You can't figure me out. But I would call them, and I would settle on it. I wouldn't let it go. Becky emails in. She's emailing in from Pennsylvania. Our church closed after 30 years, and we haven't got a new church yet. What do we do with our tithe for now? We feel guilty saving it when it could be being used. We give it to other Christian charities regularly. Can we biblically give our tithe to them instead? Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 talks about giving to the local storehouse. Your tithe needs to go to the local church. But I don't have a local church. Okay, there's nothing wrong with saving it. Nothing wrong with that at all. Save it up until you have a local church. But another thing you could do is you could break it up into weekly increments. And when you're trying out these other churches, you can give a weekly tithe to each one of these churches. They served you in that moment. They were your community storehouse. They were your local storehouse that week. And so you could tithe to them that week, and you could really bless them that way. But there's nothing wrong with saving it up. Just make sure that it goes to the local storehouse. And one more thing when it comes to that, make sure you're not looking for a church for 3 years. Let's make sure we're very, very diligent about finding that church, and it shouldn't take longer than a couple months. Maybe 4 or 5 months at the, if you're living in an area where there's lots of churches, but it shouldn't take super long. So we don't want to have 3 years of tithes saved up, in other words. So a few months ago, I was on Fox and Friends on a Monday morning, and we were talking about something called financial infidelity, cheating on your spouse when it comes to finances. And that was actually a few months ago, but just recently, there was another article that was posted. This one's by NBC News, that one out of every five are hiding parts of their finances from their spouse, according to this report. And so this is obviously not going away. One portion in here says that Americans are bashful about talking personal finances. Half of all surveyed respondents think that folks should wait until after they're engaged to discuss financial matters with a partner, or that it should never be discussed. Really? 50% think that it should never be discussed. Guys, financial conversations and finances in your marriage, they can be used to build your marriage or bust your marriage. Proactive communication or reactive communication, regardless, you're going to talk about finances. And we can choose whether we're going to do that proactively or reactively. So I would encourage you to have proactive communication about your finances. Couples need to talk openly and honestly about money before and throughout marriage. Now, without this discussion, money can cause a lot of tension in a relationship. Again, you've heard me say this before, timing is everything. Choose the right timing. If there's kids all over the house yelling, it's not the right time. Not only do you need to talk about it, but you need to agree on where the money is going. How do you agree on where the money's going? You got to have, talk about your goals, and you got to have a budget. Now, some of you don't like that word budget. You can call it what you want. Call it a cash flow plan. Call it a spending plan. You can name it after your dog. You can do whatever you want to do, but have a budget process where you know where every single dollar is going to go. It all has a name. It all has a destination. You know exactly where your money is. John Maxwell says this. He says, a budget is telling your money where it should go instead of wondering where it went. So many of us are living our lives wondering where our money actually goes. And then I would say, hey, listen, when you're through this budget process, you need to understand your differences. Some of us naturally are a saver. Some of us are a spender. Understand those differences. And if you've already found yourself in a scenario where there's been financial infidelity, if they have kept policies from you, they've kept statements from you, they've kept accounts from you, be patient. It takes time to work through this. You're not going to be able to fix this overnight. If you're married, take steps towards getting on the same page and moving forward. Don't throw a bunch of stones on what happened in the past. Focus on progress. If you're dating, you're not quite married, you might need to ask yourself, is there a bigger issue at hand? Do we have a different set of goals? Are we going two different directions? You don't want to start this thing unless you guys have the same goals in mind. Guys, financial infidelity does not have to be a reality. We need to make sure that we have open communication. Marriages are built on trust, and when we're not communicating, trust is breached, and our marriages are going to struggle as a result. Well, folks, we are talking about living smart with our money. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You just need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy-to-follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class or as a home study or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283.
And now let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Our next caller is Christine. She's calling in from Houston, Texas. How can I help you today?
Well, I have waited a long time. I'm 33. I waited to find my husband and found him moving to Houston. Very excited. We got married in March, and we are expecting our first baby here in December. Feeling very blessed. But he finished his master's, and with that came a lot of debt. And I had been working before we got married to get out of debt and was pretty close to being out of debt. And now we're at about a little over $105,000 in debt. And I'm a little overwhelmed at where exactly to start. I initially just want to say, no, we can't do that. No, we can't do this. But I know we need to live.
Yeah.
We both know and we're on board on doing something. We're just not sure the best direction to go.
Yeah. Yeah. How big is your shovel going to be? What's your income going to be? Household income?
It's at 45 right now. I was planning on working after we got married, but I've had a few more complications than we planned on, and so I'm not able to work at the moment. And he is hopefully going to be able to move up, and we're waiting on that. We'd actually planned on finding another job, but just nothing came through. And so we decided to stick with his job for now until we can find something better. I feel like he can definitely earn better for, you know, his education and the work that he's put into things. But currently it's about
$45,000. Yeah. You know, a lot of times with a master's degree, they're looking for the master's degree plus experience. So you don't get the master's pay right away.
Yeah. It's tricky.
Yeah. Do you have any money in savings?
The $1,000 for our emergency.
And then anything invested, either one of you?
No.
Here's where I would start. I would start with sitting down and making sure that you guys had the right goals, the short-term goals and long-term goals. Just make sure that you're on the same page. What does retirement look like? What does schooling look like for the children? What does a second house maybe, or a boat in the future? What do cars look like? Your major purchases, make sure you're on the same page with your financial goals. Timing is everything on that. Just make sure you're not doing that in a high stress environment. Make sure it's kind of like a financial date night and the mood is right. You're both collaborative. Just make sure you have the right timing on that. You know, the goal piece, that first piece, it really goes back to Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, people perish. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, another version says. And you want to make sure that you have clear vision on where you're headed, a clear goal. And when it comes to budget, you want to have this monthly budget and have a plan before every month begins that lines up with those goals. Zig Ziglar says if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And so you want to make sure that you're aiming towards something. And then after that, it would be the baby steps. And you kind of alluded to that a minute ago when you said the $1,000 emergency fund. For our listeners, the baby steps comes back to Financial Peace University. And I would just walk through those baby steps. Now, this $105,000 in debt, obviously, that's your next step. You want to list those in a debt snowball form. The smallest one first. Pay off the smallest one regardless of interest rate. Pay it off. And then the money that you save from not having to pay that debt anymore, apply that to your next smallest debt. And then you want to work through your debt snowball. Then after that, you save 3 to 6 months in your fully funded emergency fund and then kind of go from there with investing and on from there. But that's how you get started. You know, you guys need to pray over your goals together. I would join a Financial Peace University class somewhere. I would get involved in that.
We actually were looking into it, and then I was wanting to get some of the books beforehand, but there were so many of like Dave Ramsey books. I'm like, which one?
Yeah.
And I guess my bigger thing is what kind of budget layout do we follow? Because I've got a bunch of ideas, and I know it'll probably take some trying, you know, what works best for us. But to start out, I just am feeling a little bit overwhelmed of, like, what's the best way? How do we do this?
Right. The best book for you is The Total Money Makeover, and I'm not just going to tell you about that book. I'm going to give it to you for free. So when we hang up, if you are, you seem to be a pretty diligent and disciplined person who can read through a book. I also think you need to go to Financial Peace University as well. But I think if you want to get started early and get going on this book, we want to send it to you for free. So when we hang up, Amanda, our great call screener, will hook you up and get your address, and we'll make sure we send it to you. But
perfect, thank you so much.
The Bible's clear: the diligent prosper. You know, yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a millionaire tomorrow. But he blesses our hard work. He blesses our diligence. And you're doing a great job. And I one last thing you didn't ask for. I wouldn't close the door on you making revenue. I would think outside the box and how could you increase some revenue yourself from home with the complications? Okay. What could you do from home? With technology today, there's a lot of things that you could probably do for maybe it's 10 grand a year that it wouldn't even ruin your world. It would just be extra money on the side, 2 or 3 hours a day just sitting at the dining room table. So think outside the box, and that could really help you guys tremendously.
I think that's an excellent idea. I definitely want to contribute and feel helpful because being home, not doing anything, it's not, not as fun.
Yeah, and then you can also probably save the family $6,000 to $10,000 a year just in you being at home, being creative with how can we structure our meal plans? How can we structure our recreation? So the many of our listeners right now, they're listening, wish that they would have started earlier. You're starting from the beginning. And so read that book and start off right because they all wish they would have started earlier. Okay?
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Christine. Our next caller is Cameron. He's calling in from Austin, Texas. Cameron, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? Appreciate you taking my call here. So essentially what we've got is my wife and I just moved to Austin, and I finished graduate school for landscape architecture.
Congrats.
Appreciate it. We have 4 kids and 7 and under, and we have about, in my student debt, we have about 77,000.
4 kids, 7 and under.
Yeah, it's been a crazy time so far.
Yeah, you are busy, and you finished school?
Yep, we're all finished, no more.
Impressive. I got 3 kids, 10 and under, and I'm telling you, I can feel your pain, my friend.
Oh, man, they keep you busy for sure, yeah. So we're staying pretty busy, and, you know, before we went into school, we got debt-free and followed, a lot of Dave's Financial Peace University stuff. And,
yeah.
Having multiple kids, it's difficult to work well in school, so my wife stayed at home and manned the fort.
That's cool.
And so currently right now, that's the only debt we have, and we're about to attack this with Gazelle Intensity. And, you know, we have some money where we have a car that's worth about $13,000 or $14,000, and it's all paid off. And we have a second car that's completely paid off, which is a family van. And the thought was, you know, is it wise to come in and to sell a car to just slam that money on debt and do whatever we can? So we're looking at extra jobs, cutting expenses, and, is it wise to do something like that when it's such a valuable resource?
If she's staying at home, right?
Yeah, and I actually, I take the bus, which is the other reason why we don't need the second car.
I mean, yeah, no, I don't think it's too intense. I think if you're doing it just to be frugal, that's one thing. I mean, it's not bad. It's just whatever. But if it's really an act of worship and it's like, I'm managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. I'm getting out of debt. I'm positioning our family for the future. And it's an act of worship. No, it's not too intense. It's perfect. I would definitely say do it. And you're still putting your family in a position where they're safe, that if something came up, you guys would have transportation. I don't see anything that puts your family in a bad position here. I'm all for it. So I like it.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's what we were kind of thinking. We figured as long as we can just knock this out and, our goal is to try to hit it in 2 years, maybe 2.5, and nail down that emergency fund and start working towards the house. So anything we can do to speed that process up, we figure we can do it.
Yeah, I encourage it and I applaud it. And I think you're inspiring to a lot of our listeners. The Bible's very clear. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's amazing. That's where your treasure is comes first. A lot of times that's quoted as where your heart is, there your treasure will be. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it's very obvious where your treasure is. And, also where your heart is. Your treasure is not in a metal and engines. It's in stability. It's in positioning so that you can put your family in a position where you can serve people and love people. So I love it. I love everything about it.
Well, I appreciate your time.
Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service. But in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by talking to your friends and family, asking them to listen to the show. It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, Until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, and for God's glory. God bless you.